On today's Technobabble, the hows and whys of screencasting.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Techno Babble. This is your weekly audio, well, not as much audio, more video and graphic design church web podcast, netcast, and stream. Basically, this show is recorded live in front of whoever cares to see it every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. UTC during the summer. During the winter, it's 2 p.m. UTC because of the whole crazy time change stuff. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So first off, I'm going to tell you, you can get all my contact information at trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. You can head there at any time, leave a comment. Leave a comment below. That's fine. Also, my Twitter handle is Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAlanClif. So you can absolutely find that there as well. So let's get started talking about screencasting. Screencasting is the ability to record what's going on your screen. Now, it's not the case that there is no good reason to do this unless you're a gamer. Some people might think, well, you know, I've seen those gaming videos on the YouTube, and the gaming videos, they look kind of interesting, but only if I like that shoot 'em up kind of game, and they don't really have a chess gaming video. Well, that's fine, you know, to each his own, but I don't think that you should be thinking about gaming videos as the only reason that you would do screencasting. Screencasting, I mean, I do it every week on Tuesdays during the screencast show. It enables you to accomplish a lot of different things. So, of course, you can show what's on your screen. But stop and think, why would you want to show what's on your screen? Well, there are some pretty good reasons. First off, if you want to document a process, let's say you want to show how you go through and you do some stuff, a screencast might be perfect for that. You could just go, step one, I do this, step two, I do this, step three, I do this. And when you're done, you've got a video that you could show somebody. That's pretty powerful. You could also do software tutorials, which is basically why I do them. I'm trying to get people up to speed on ProPresenter 5. Not because I'm paid by Renewed Vision, although I wouldn't turn down some money if you're from Renewed Vision and you would like to have me do the ProPresenter 6 tutorials. Not that you've announced ProPresenter 6, and when I asked, you said, no, we don't know when that'll be released. But if you were interested, I would be happy to do those. Okay, so you can do software tutorials. Also, you can pre-record webinar-style content. So if you've ever been on a webinar, you know that a webinar is basically, it tends to be full screen video of slides with the presenter talking. Well, you can absolutely record that and have that on your website at any time. So you don't necessarily have to get a quorum of people together for a webinar. You could just pre-record those and have those come anytime that you want. You also have the ability to convert what is now stream-only content to a download format. What do I mean by that? Let me give you a perfect example. Earlier on in the week, which is why I have webinars in my head, I did a webinar, which, by the way, if you'd like to see that, head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/vidcourse. All one word. VidCourse, V-I-D-C-O-U-R-S-E, trinitydigitalmedia.com/VidCourse. I basically, it's a three-part introduction to how to do video. So trinitydigitalmedia.com/vidcourse will enable you to get my webinar and some other videos that I've put together. It's a three-part course with ebooks and all kinds of fun stuff. So when I did that, the webinar host said that they will eventually put it on YouTube. That was on Monday. It's still not there. So on Tuesday, I gave up and I fired up my screen capture software and I just started playing that bad boy. The audio and the slides weren't quite right. So what I did was I captured the audio from the streaming audio, and then I captured the video of my slides, and I just sat there and I listened to myself and I advanced the slides. Now, it wasn't perfect, but by being able to do it that way, I was able to complete it in probably about 5-10 minutes longer than the webinar itself, as opposed to editing that, which adding in the slides manually and making sure I got them in the right place would have probably taken me easily 2 to 3 hours. So that was another use of screencasting software. So one other thing that I hadn't written down, but it just occurred to me, you could use it to annotate videos that you get. So let's say you're a producer, and but you don't actually produce the video. You don't create the videos. You just give the vision, have someone else create them, and then you go back. Well, what you can do is you can use screen capture software, and if you've got the right screen capture software, then you could annotate the video as you're going and say, hey, can you remove this? This seems a little too long, you know, things like that, just to make it more easy to communicate with your editor. And I think that that's something else that you might do. That's something that some churches would do, but it's more rare than some of these other things. I mean, you know, think about it. If you don't have a camera or you don't have a very good camera, you could do a webinar-style message on Sunday morning where you take the pastor's slides and the video of the slides, and you could switch between them by taking video of the slides in real time, and you could create something pretty compelling for not a lot of money. So that's something that you could think about. Software tutorials, obviously, if you use worship software like ProPresenter 5 or MediaShout or one of the others, then it would be great for training and for documenting a process. If you do the same thing over and over again on the computer, why not document that in case something happens to you or you want to hand that off to someone else? So those are some of the things that you can do with screencasting software. But you might be thinking, well, what should I be looking for in screencasting software? The very first thing that I would say is you need to find the right balance of price and features. Let me give you a perfect example. My favorite screencasting software, well, it's actually the main one that I use other than Wirecast. When I'm streaming live, I do Wirecast, and it's not as full-featured as what I'm about to tell you, but it does do live streaming, whereas these others don't. So Wirecast is one thing that I use, but I do video streaming 5 days a week, so that's totally different. For most people, they're going to want to look at something like, these are the two heavy hitters in the Mac world, and I think at least one of them is available on PC. So you want to look for something like Camtasia or ScreenFlow. I personally use Camtasia. Why do I use Camtasia? It's because I got a good deal on it. It was part of a bundle where you pay whatever you want to pay kind of thing, but if you beat the average, you get it all. So I beat the average, and I got it all, and that included Camtasia. That's why I use it. It's not that I think it's better than ScreenFlow. It's just that I got a good deal on it. So those two are pretty good. Cliff Ravenscraft on Podcast Answer Man uses ScreenFlow. And so there's nothing wrong with that. It's made by the same people as Wirecast, so I see no reason why you shouldn't use that. But if you're on a Mac, you might already have some very basic screen capture software. It's called QuickTime 10. QuickTime 10 can do screen captures. Now, it's very basic. You're not going to have some of these other advanced features, but it could be that that's all you need. You need to start the recording, record your screen for a certain duration, record your mic. That's something that's very important, so that you can talk through what you're doing as you're doing it, and then stop the recording, and then clip off the beginning and the end. You can do all that in QuickTime 10. And if you want a little more control over the clipping off the beginning and the end, you can download QuickTime 7. That's what I typically use for clipping off the beginning and the end only. So that's something else that you can consider. Now, so you need a cost-feature balance. So you don't want something that's so pricey and has tons of features that you'll never use, but you don't want something free, on the other hand, that is, while free, doesn't have enough features. So you have to balance those things. That's why I tend to use Camtasia. So, cost-feature balance. Some of the free software, there's some online things and some other ways of doing it. Some of it has a limited duration. Look at that. If the screencasts that you're doing are going to be longer than 5 minutes and it says you only have 5 minutes, try and find something else. Sure, you can stitch it together, but trust me, it's better to just try and find something else. If it's particularly low resolution, you might consider something else as well, because computer screens tend to be pretty high resolution, and if you're getting just 640 by 360 and you can't get the entirety of your screen in there, and you can't zoom in, you can't pan around, you just can't get to everything, that's a bit of a problem. That's something that I'm running into actually on Wirecast, because of my computer's a little slow to do HD, so I'm screencasting at 640 by 360. I can do it for what I'm doing, but there are other pieces of software that it just wouldn't work for. So that's something I want you to consider as well. Also, sound. Occasionally you'll run across a piece of software that does not record your sound. And depending on the software, it also needs to record the sound that's coming out of the computer. So look for software that will record the sound that is coming, the sound that is coming out of your computer speakers and the sound that's coming into your microphone, and to be able to control that. Because sometimes you need the clicks, the beeps, the bops, all the stuff that your computer's doing, and sometimes you just want your voice, and sometimes it's so simple you don't need your voice. So you would want to turn that off so that it doesn't get you going, "Now why is that not working?" You know, mumbling under your breath, that's no good. So you want to have control over that. Now, a nice feature to have is what I call annotations. The ability to take the video and put on top of it whenever you're clicking, whenever you're left clicking, whenever you're right clicking, whenever you're holding down the control key, whenever you're typing something, any of that stuff is very helpful to have as well. And the higher end products have that, in addition to being able to do the zooming and the panning and all the stuff that they do, and that's pretty cool. So think about what you actually need. You can always grow later, I know that I started with QuickTime 10, and then when this Camtasia deal came out, then I was happy to do it. Oh, you should also know that Camtasia and ScreenFlow both come with video editors. Now, when I first got Camtasia, I didn't think that I could import external video, so I was just using it for screen capture. But then I heard that you can. And I started using it, and while it's no Final Cut Pro, it's no Premiere Pro, it is perfectly adequate for what most people do. So it could be that in combining a couple of these features, you can use the video editor in Camtasia or ScreenFlow or whatever, if it has a video editor, and that saves you money on buying a video editor. As I say, it's not going to be as full-featured as the high-end professional stuff, but for a lot of people, they won't notice the difference. I started out on Final Cut Pro, so I noticed the difference, but a lot of people don't. You know, basically, I'm like, where do I set a keyframe? You might not even know what a keyframe is. That's okay. I'm thinking, oh, why did it pause like half a second after I hit the space bar instead of immediately? So, just things like that, that are just different. So, I hope that that helps you. I hope that you can use this information as you're going out and changing eternity. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, etc. Subscriptions on YouTube and on my website are absolutely free. So if you head on over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/subscribe, you can subscribe for free. If you head on over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/contact, you can find all my contact information, Paul@TrinityDigitalMedia.com. My phone number, 1-877-763-3246, 1-877-POD-ECHO, is a good way for you to leave me a voicemail. And if you have subscribed to the video podcast or the audio podcast of this show, please leave me a review in iTunes, TrinityDigitalMedia.com/iTunes reviews, all one word. Until next time, this is Paul with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. This and all the ChurchTechCast.com podcasts and video shows are generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. That's patreon.com/PaulAllenCliff. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month. Every little bit helps, so thank you.